Hey, welcome to the sermon series from Life Church Green Bay. It's our mission to bring the life-giving message of Jesus to the 920 and beyond. We're so glad you're here. If this is your first time joining us, we want to do life with you. While you're listening, fill out the hello card on our website so we can connect with you. Visit lifechurchgreenbay.com/hello to fill it out. Make sure to check the I'm new here and online options while filling out the card. Again, we're so glad you're with us today. Here's this week's message.
All right, good morning. Good morning. Open your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 43. And if you have not downloaded the Bible app yet, if you haven't got a hold of this free app that you can follow along if you go to more events, Life Church Green Bay, but there's so many devotionals, there's so many reading plans that you could do. But I just found out, like this is like a today, like what's that phrase again? A today years old. I just found out that you can watch The Chosen on the Bible app. Like seasons 1, 2, and 3 are on the Bible. Now, I know you're gonna be like, can I watch it right now? I would prefer if you didn't. Can you wait maybe until later? And that way we can kind of continue to worship Jesus together. If you're watching online, hey, I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you're watching. And again, if the Bible app's not what you're wanting, we do have a physical Bible. We do have a devotional that is available at our info center on your way out that you can go and grab. But I'm so glad you guys are here as we continue in this series on The Chosen, where last week, oh, wow, Pastor Sean, like he crushed it. Like it was amazing. And to the point, so you have to understand, growing up, I used to be really motivated by like good things. So like my brother got me into skateboarding when I was younger. And then he would bring these skate videos home. And I'd watch these professionals just do things I can't even like fathom doing. And even though I couldn't do it, I would watch those videos and go, I want to go skate. You want to go skate? Let's go outside. Let's get out of here. And that's how I felt about last week's message. I thought that message was so good. I am not kidding. I went home and I started writing this message as soon as I got home because it was so good. So if you didn't watch it yet, go to our website. Go on there. Watch it. It was such a powerful message that he talked about Peter and stubbornness. And it was so good. And he did say something that it dawned on me. And I know what's going to happen. But I don't want this show to end either because I know like once we get towards the end, it's going to get real emotional. It's going to get heavy because if we look at season 1 now, I don't know about you, but I still cry at every episode. There's still a scene where I'm like, oh God, please stop. I can't take it anymore. So it's good. And I agree. I'm like, hey, take your time. Like, just keep putting theaters. Like, let's just, you know, let's slow our roll on this because I know what happens. But like when you see it on screen, like done well, you're like, no, don't do it. No. Anyways, let's go to Isaiah 43. I'm going to start reading verse 10. It says this, "But you are my witnesses, O Israel, says the Lord. You are my servant. You've been chosen to know me, believe in me, and understand that I alone am God. There is no other God. There never has been, and there never will be." The title of my message this morning is a message called A Miracle Moment. Can we pray? Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to continue worshiping you with your word. And I pray, Lord, that we'd be more than just hearers of the word. We'd be more than just doers of the word, but we would speak out the word. We would agree with the word. We would worship the word, knowing, Lord, that your word is alive and active. This is more than text. Lord, this is powerful. It's life-changing, and when we welcome into our lives, it will transform us. So I pray we do more than just hear the word. But Lord, we take it out. We'd be motivated and transformed by it. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. Have you ever had a busy day that was so busy, it required a strategy? Now, Shelby and I, we try not to let our days be too busy. We understand that, like, you know, doing ministry and balancing that with our families, we want to try to keep that very guarded. But a couple Wednesdays ago, just situations were out of our hands. We had a parent-teacher conference. We had some meetings that just couldn't do any other day. A haircut appointment, that was like the only day they could do it. Our daughter was going to be singing in the youth worship team, so I had to get her to a certain time. And so we were just stacked. And at that point, we were like, okay, what are we going to do? On top of that, it's really the only day of the week where we allow our kids to have drive-through food. And so, like, they get excited about it, and they get picky. They all don't want the same thing. They want something from one place and another place. And so, and I was hoping in this busyness I would be like, hey, can we just go to, like, one place? And they're like, nope, uh-uh. I get one week, one time a week to do this. I want this. And so I was like, oh, wait. I got a strategy. Because it turns out a lot of these drive-through places have apps. And so I download the apps, I go on, and I'm picking out what they want. And as I'm on the app, I notice that there's a deal. There's a deal on something. And I say, hey, you know, inflation, you know, I'll give up on it. But you had to modify. See, because my son, he doesn't like double cheeseburgers. He likes hamburgers with just ketchup. But the app lets you do that. So I went to the app. I said, all right, I'm going to take away the mustard, the onions, the pickles, ketchup. He doesn't want two patties. He just wants one patty. Cool. Done. I'm like the DoorDash for my family. I go up, I grab the bags, I do the salute, I get home. I want to just like brush off my shoulders. I did it. Until my wife opens the bag and I hear my son go, oh man. And it turns out that his hamburger had a bun. It had ketchup, but that was it. So the strategy didn't work. So I had to go like Charlie Brown and go up to the people and say, hey, it could have been my fault. Maybe I got too excited. I pressed too many buttons. But hey, I actually wanted to turn this double cheeseburger into a hamburger. And I love their response. They said, yeah, we thought it was pretty weird too. But the reality is, we just wanted to do what you ordered. And it really stuck to me. It didn't make sense to them, but they were willing to do whatever they thought I told them to do. And in episode 5 of The Chosen, the episode is set in a wedding that Mary's invited to, Jesus and his disciples are invited to. And we see this story in John chapter 2. So I want to go to John chapter 2, starting in verse 1. I'm going to read it at the NIV. We're going to have it on the screens. It says this. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. And Jesus' mother was there. And Jesus and the disciples had been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. Woman, why do you involve me? Well, I'm going to stop real quick because I know that comes off really disrespectful. Like who would call their mother woman, especially Jesus? You have to understand that culture, that wasn't an insult. Like Jesus was looking at him like, you're more than a mother. You're more than Mary. You are a woman. You're a powerful woman. And so therefore I want to remind you that you're a woman. So it's not disrespectful. Jesus like didn't get, you know, he didn't need to be spanked in the corner for this. Like he was actually being respectful. But he says, my hour hasn't come yet. His mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, now draw out some and take it to the master of the banquet. And so they did. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine, and he did not realize where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, everyone brings the choice wine in the first and the cheaper wine afterwards, but you have saved the best till now. What Jesus did there in Cana of Galilee was the first of signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. So we see this portion of scripture is the first miracle that Jesus does, and he does that at a wedding. And for some of us, it's our favorite miracle. I know some of my, you know, my non-believing friends and my new believer friends are like, hey, that miracle, that's pretty cool. I mean, Jesus is just all right with me on that. But this miracle does more than just turn water into wine. It's a symbolism of a covenant between the groom and the bride, which represents the church and God, and Jesus is the center of it. So he sees that even though they don't have wine, which would be embarrassing and would cause this covenant to come to a halt, he says, I'm gonna come in and do a miracle in this covenant because I need to be the center of it. And that's what God is wanting for our lives. He wants to be the center. He wants to be the gap, the bridge between us and God. And he says, I will do miracles. I will do whatever is possible to keep that covenant close. And so that alone is such a great reminder in the scripture. But the thing that sticks out to me is how'd they find out? Like that really got my attention because in verse 9 it says they didn't realize where it came from. Though the servants who had drawn the water knew. The servants knew about this. And we see this parallel between John 2 and Isaiah 43, where God wanting to be the true God, we must commit to being his servants and his witnesses. So if you're taking notes and you're looking at these scriptures, there are two ways to have a miracle moment with God. Two ways to have a miracle moment today in 2024 and whatever situation we're in. And we could do that by being a servant. His mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. And that word servant in the Hebrew where you find in Isaiah is the word abed, which is a bondman. It says someone bound to serve without wages. And I know for some of us, we can look at that word bondman, someone who serves without wages, and we can look at it in a negative light, but you have to understand, when you are serving the true master, him being glorified is more important than us getting the credit. That when we're people saying, I don't need wages, I just need to be close to you. I need to be next to you. So you don't need to pay me. I'm gonna do it willingly with a good heart and a positive attitude because I want to serve you, Lord. Even though the definition of a servant is a person who is in the service of one another, an attendant or an assistant, one who performs duties for their master or mistress. Now, we don't know if the servants knew who Jesus was. Again, he doesn't have a reputation yet. He's about to perform his first miracle. They don't know him. And so when Mary says, do whatever they tell him to, they could have been like, nah, I don't know this dude. But they did it anyways. And I wonder if they saw something in this man. I wonder if they saw something in this rabbi that said, wait a minute, I don't know you yet, but I believe you're about to do something great. And I wonder, do we see enough in Jesus that we're willing to do whatever it takes for him to move in our life? Do we believe that he can do the impossible? Do we believe what this word says, that he can change and transform our lives and the lives of people around us? If so, then God, I'll do whatever you ask. God, I'll go wherever you want me to because I believe you can do the unthinkable. And so we see them talk about being a servant. And I love because servanthood is found in so many portions of scriptures. One, we see the definition of servanthood is in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 4:10, it says, each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God, God's grace in various forms. So to be a servant that reflects the one true God, a servant who's positioned for a miracle moment to happen around them. They need to understand that they have a gift. Church, you have a gift. You all have a gift. And for some of us, maybe that gift was encouraged by one and it was helped by others, but God gave you that gift. And for some of you, you think your gift's not big enough, it's not small enough, but you have to remember, we are the body of Christ. And if we want to make a difference in our culture, in our world, we have to understand that my gift is useful to what God wants to do. But more than that, we can serve with our gift by remembering that my gift isn't for me. It's for others. And it's to glorify him. And so I'm sorry if you use your gift for the world and the world beats you up and spits you out. I'm sorry if you use your gift in other places and it brought burnout and despair. But God's saying, I made you into a new creation and I'm giving you a new nature, and I want you to walk in the gift I've given you to glorify me and to serve others. And in that, you will put yourself in a position to see miracles happen. That's why I love being about a part of this church, because you can use your gift in so many areas here. I don't know what's been going on. I don't know why social media has been showing me this. Maybe like maybe the enemy's attacked me, but I'm just tired of people saying that big churches are unhealthy. They can be if you're just coming in and coming out. They can be. But we believe here that as we get bigger, we need to get smaller. And we need to be a part of a community of believers where we're walking together. We're encouraging each other. We're helping each other. We're using our gifts to serve others. And in that, we get to allow ourselves and position ourselves to see miracles happen. And so again, don't be just a person who just comes in and out over and over and over again. And then get mad and go, I tried that church. I didn't get anywhere with it. Yes, because you didn't do what God asked you to do. You didn't use your gift to serve others and to glorify him. You just checked in and checked out. God's saying, I want more from you than that. I want you to get to a place where you believe I can do the impossible in your life and through your life. And I just need you to position yourself to be willing to do whatever I say. So we see that the servants, in their obedience to do whatever God told them to do, brought them to a place of seeing a miracle happen. And then number two, we get to see that we can allow miracles and position ourselves to have miracle moments by being a witness. It says the servants who had drawn the water knew. No one knew the water turned to wine except the servants. The banquet master didn't know. Jesus definitely didn't. I mean, we see it in scripture all the time. Jesus does not like to, tell. In fact, when he does miracles, sometimes he goes, don't tell anyone yet. My time hasn't come. He didn't let the disciples know. The only way we find out that that wine that was the best tasting wine was actually water was the servants. They were the witnesses. And that word witness that we find in Isaiah 43 is the word ayad. It's a recorder. It's someone who tells the facts, that gives what they saw, what they experienced. The definition of witness is an individual who gives a testimony of an eyewitness account. Someone who gives evidence of what they heard, seen, or experienced. So being a witness isn't telling people why they need Jesus, but why you have Jesus. Like, that's all we need. We just need to tell them the facts. We don't need to debate with people. We don't need to convince people. You just need to tell them what you've seen, heard, and experienced. I know, I'm like getting amens over here, but like over here, they're like, that requires talking. And I don't like the talkie-talkie. I don't like to give a witness. I don't like to give a testimony. I'm not good with my words. And that's why this quote is one of my favorite quotes. St. Francis of Assisi says, preach the gospel at all times. If necessary, use words. Billy Graham said, the greatest gospel you'll ever preach is the one you live. It's our life that is the witness. It's our actions. It's our faith. It's what we choose to do and not to do that will let people know that God is doing something in me. I'm more than just a good person. I'm more than just a churchgoer. I have been changed and transformed through Jesus, and it's nothing short of a miracle, because I know where I was. I know who I used to be. And then Jesus came in and I know where I am. And so therefore, what he is doing in my life is a miracle. And I just want you, if I don't have the words to say, I'll just show it through my life. I'll show it through my worship. I'll show it by every action I make. I'll show it with my face. Do you know you would win more people to Jesus if your face looked like this? More like this? That's just reality. It is, I know, and sometimes this hurts. I get it. But I'd rather glorify Jesus with my face than not. I just would. And so if you have to do something with your cheeks, just do it. If you have to do lemon face. Do it. Because we need to let people see what is in us. We need to let the people see that we're not just a churchgoer. We're not just a goody two-shoe. And I know some of you guys are going, yeah, but my testimony's not that cool. I was raised in church. My dad was a pastor. It's pretty boring. That's why I don't have a testimony. I just have Jesus. I love what Louis Giglio says. He says, people say all the time, I don't have a good testimony, because they think their story has to involve some dramatic story of change from bad to good. But Jesus didn't come to save people this way. Sin doesn't make us bad, it makes us dead. Jesus came to save by bringing the dead to life, and that's an amazing testimony. Maybe I don't have this crazy story, but I was dead and now I'm alive, because Romans 6:23 says it. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Your story is someone else's story. And whether you think you don't have a good testimony or not, guess what? There are people who also think they don't have a good testimony, and they're trying to slide into salvation by works alone. But they need to know, no. It's not what my actions that makes me alive. It is my surrender that makes me alive. Because yes, maybe I didn't sin as much as that person, but all sins, the wages of sin is death. I was dead, but now I'm alive. In the book of John, chapter 9, there's a story of a man who was born blind and he meets Jesus. And Jesus, he brings sight to him and he goes back home. He goes to his neighborhood and they're like, whoa! Well, Billy's not blind anymore. Like, he was born blind. So everyone who knew Billy, I don't know if his name was Billy. I'm just using the word Billy. But they knew this man was blind, but now we can see this is crazy, and he gets everyone's attention, especially the Pharisees. The scripture shows that the Pharisees bring the man in. They're like, all right, sit down. I don't know if they just said, all right, tell us what happened. He's like, I was born blind. But now I can see, and they're like, who did it? You're like, that prophet, Jesus. He's not a prophet, he's a sinner. No. And then they tell him to go, and they bring his parents in. This is great. Sit the parents down, they're like, all right, be honest. No one's around. Was your kid born blind? I don't know if they said it like that, but that's how I interpret it. And they're like, yeah, this is amazing. Our son can see, he was born blind. And they're like, all right, get out of here. And they bring the man back, and this is what they say to him. They said, give glory to God. Say this man is a sinner. And here's his response in John 9:25. He answered, whether he is a sinner, I don't know. One thing I do know is that though I was blind, now I see. Witnessing isn't convincing. Witnessing isn't debating. Witnessing isn't winning the argument for Jesus. Witnessing is showing people what God has done in your life through your words and your actions. And I wonder if your story causes someone else to welcome the person who can and will do the impossible in their life. Because if we're willing to tell our story, guess what happens? Transformation happens in someone else's story. And I don't know about you, but that sounds like a miracle to me. Here's what I want to close with. I want to go back to John 2, verse 7 and 8, and I want to see if you're picking up what I'm seeing. In verse 7, it says, Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, now draw some of it out and take it to the master of the banquet. They did so. I mean, do you see what I see? From them filling the jars with water and then drawing out the water, it doesn't say anywhere that the water turned to wine. So for all we know, it could have still been water. And they pulled it out and they said, all right, this is not what they want. They want that good wine. This is just water. Like, I don't know if this is going to work. And then they take it to the master of the banquet. And I wonder what their response was when he said this.
Stop the music! Stop the music! Everyone, listen! I have something I would like to say. I would like to address the bridegroom and the bride families. At every wedding I've ever overseen, they serve the best wine first. And then, when the people have drunk freely, much later in the feast, they serve the poorer wine, the cheap stuff. Because by then, who is going to notice? Am I right? But you have chosen now to serve the best wine I have ever tasted. Let us thank them for this unnecessary but honorable gesture.
Imagine being the servants as you're walking away and he says, stop the music. And they're like, uh-oh, we're in trouble. And then he says that. It's the best wine I've ever tasted. And they looked at each other and said, that wasn't wine. That was water. The best wine you've ever tasted, that was water. And see, they were obedient enough. Even though they may have not saw it for themselves, they trusted him and they're obedient to him. And they said, okay, I don't know where you're going with this, but I'm going to be a servant. I'm going to be someone who goes anyways. And because of that, they got to hear the master of the banquet say, this is the best wine. Yeah, give it up for the bridegroom. Give it up for the family. And they're like, that's not wine. That's a miracle. And I wonder if we've kept ourselves from seeing a miracle in our lives because we haven't submitted ourselves to being a servant of God. I wonder if we're at a place where we're saying, you know, I'm not good enough. My gift's not great enough. I don't know if I could do anything for the kingdom, so I'm going to stand back. But at the same time, we're struggling and we're fighting because we're going, God, I don't even know if you're real. But I wonder if we position ourselves to say, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to do what you say. I'm going to trust you with my life. I'm going to trust you with my gifts. I'm going to trust you with my finances. I'm going to trust you with everything. And then in the process, he does a miracle that we can't be quiet about, that we have to tell everyone. And it's not debating or trying to convince you. I'm just giving you the facts. I'm giving you what I know, that my life was like this, but when I positioned myself to be obedient to him, he did something that I didn't think was possible. I didn't think was real. I didn't think could happen in 2024. And God is not just wanting to do that with some of us. He wants to do that with all of us, because there's more people out there that are in here that need to hear your miracle story. So will we do that? Will we believe? And will we walk in what he asked us to do? Will we position ourselves to be in a place where we see something that doesn't make sense, so it must be God? Can I pray with you? You know that's salvation. Salvation is a miracle. Salvation is coming to a place where we realize that Jesus did so much. Even in the garden, when he's saying, God, let this cup pass, and he was going through stress and sweating blood, it was because he understood the weight of absorbing our sins. And yet he did it anyways. He became that sacrifice on the cross, the sacrifice so great that at one point in time, it says that God had to turn away. And he screams, God, why have you forsaken me? And if we could have God's recording, I believe he would say, because you took all the sin, and I'm a perfect God, and so I can't. But I'm thankful that in 3 days, you're going to overcome sin and the grave and become that gift that everyone can walk in and have, and all they have to do is accept it and walk in it. It's more than just believing. It's making Jesus our Lord and Savior. Lord, meaning I want to give you control of everything in my life, and Savior, meaning I'm not going to live in guilt and shame anymore. But God, I want to live in the freedom that you've given us. So with everyone's head bowed, eyes closed, wide, I want you to have a moment with God. I want you to ask yourself, am I just coming here because it's what I've done my whole life, or is today the day I need to make that decision? I need to make that choice to make him my Lord and my Savior. And if that's true, we're going to do one of two things. And don't be embarrassed by this. Don't be ashamed. say, I need to make my life right. I need to make him the center of my life. So we're gonna do one of two things. I'm just gonna have you raise your hand and look at me. And then we're gonna say a prayer together. A prayer, nothing magical, just saying and welcome him into our lives. So if that's you, you've never done that. Or maybe you thought you did it, but you don't wanna second guess it. Can I just have you raise your hand real quick? Thank you, 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 thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Over here on the left, my left. Thank you. Now, for some of us who raise our hand for the first time, or maybe for the first time, but really meaning it, this will be the last time. Because what's happening is you're going to let the Savior of the world in your life, and he's going to change and transform you. Church, can we say this prayer together? Say, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Please forgive me of all my sins. Come into my life. Change me. Make me new. Be my Lord and be my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that for the first time, we want to help you. I wish God would just download everything to us, but he doesn't. This is just the start of our Jesus journey, taking us from where we are to where God wants us to be. So if you could just fill out that card, either physically or digitally, and just check your choosing to follow Jesus, we want to help you. We want to help you with things like getting you a Bible or showing you the Bible app, telling you about prayer, talking to you about just getting involved and being around people, but also understanding that we do more than just Sunday. We have women's Bible studies on Mondays, men's Bible studies on Tuesdays. We have youth on Wednesdays, and that youth is not just playing games and eating pizza. Like, they are worshiping. They are learning about Jesus. They are getting in the Bible. They are being challenged by leaders and their pastors on the weekly. And then we have our young adults. Every other week, you're doing the same thing. They're meeting together and they're building a foundation of biblical boundaries. So it's not just hanging out, it's growing from where you are to where God wants you to be. So we'd love to be involved in that. And we'd love to be a part of a community of believers. But if you're saying, you know what, this is just too much for me, I don't know if there's a church for me, that's fine. We believe we're a church for anybody, but not everybody. And there are some great churches around here we'd love you to be involved in, churches that are just down the street. But you can't say, well, because I didn't like that church, I'm not going to church. No, that's not how it works. You have to be a part of community of believers. You have to do more than just step in and step out. You got to get plugged in. We'd love to help you with that. Can I pray with you one more time? You're here, you're saying, I am a Jesus person, but I have been lacking in servanthood and witnessing. And I need God to do miracles in my life for me to remember how great and how powerful he is, and for others to see that I serve a real God who is really moving today. If that's you, can I just have you raise your hand so I can pray with you? So Lord, we are not gonna be in the back burner anymore. We're not gonna be in the sidelines. Lord, we are believing, God, I'm gonna do whatever you tell me to do. And if you're telling me to do something that might take me out of my comfort zone, I'm gonna trust you. If you're gonna tell me to do something that doesn't make sense, I'm gonna trust you. Because I believe when you do that miracle, it's gonna give me a story. Not that I have to debate with people about, not that I have to convince people, that I just have to tell them, this is what happened. I don't know the whole Bible. I don't know everything, but I know he did this in my life. And I pray that their story would cause others to start their story. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for joining us this week. Follow our other podcasts so you can be updated when new episodes are released. We have a wide variety of podcasts to choose from. Hey, thanks for listening to this episode. We'll see you next week.